Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
We're supposed to be builders. Anybody can tear down. You don't have to go to school how to learn how to tear down, but you need to be an engineer. You need to know something that you're going to build. And so God wants to educate us in construction. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You may be seated. I read the other day, I forgot how many ministers go out of the ministry every month and how many churches close down. And I said, good. If they closed down, they wouldn't have much success. They wouldn't help them much. Just clutter in the landscape. Because there's so many churches do not realize the weaponry of the Lord is not carnal. They think it's all about programs, pep, and people. But the weapons of God are not carnal. That means they're not intellectual. That means they're not reasonable. We don't always get it figured out. But they're mighty through God. It takes a spiritual override to weaponize your weapons, to make them spiritual, to make them supernatural, where they're not jump something, a trinket around your neck. You know, I have no problems with what would Jesus do, bracelet on your arm. I have no problem with a cross around your neck, but if that's all you got, you ain't got much. Because that devil's not afraid of a bracelet or an ornament around your neck. But friend, if you know how to weaponize the things of God, and those things are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the devil is afraid of that. And so we have talked for several days, and I'm going to keep talking about it, about weaponizing our worship. When we weaponize our worship, I've already covered this, it gives us spiritual status, puts us at the head of the line. And you can read in the occasions of the Word of God where many times they were put to the head of the line, be a crowd, but somebody would step up and Jesus would work a miracle in their life. Worship puts you at the head of the line. Weaponized worship conquers the condemnation of religion. Religion can be one of the worst enemies of God's blessing. Just say, well, you can't have it. And I just hear it all the time, and I get so weary of hearing it on Facebook about how God doesn't want to bless you and God doesn't want to prosper you and all you can expect as a Christian is trouble and trials and all of that. Folks, I'm going to tell you, my troubles and my trials are about this much. I mean, they're not much compared to the blessing of the Lord in my life because I've learned how to weaponize the things of God. And so religion keeps saying you can't have it, but God keeps saying I will not withhold any good thing from you. Number three, the third point on this, weaponized worship reassigns your battle to God. Remember that. Weaponized worship, when you really learn to worship the Lord in the Spirit, and somebody said, well, you know, I lift my hands in church. Some of you can't do that yet. Or I clap my hands. Oh, no, no. I'm talking about worship, not just in his sanctuary. The Bible said worship him in the sanctuary, praise him in the sanctuary. But it said praise him in the firmament of his power. I need to be able to praise God out there on the job, in the schoolroom, in my car, in my home, in the supermarket, praise God. I was preaching over in East Texas in a little dead church. I mean, that place was dead as 4 o'clock. But there was one woman, I traveled a long time in those dead churches, and I found out in every dead church, there was a candle. There was somebody's on fire. There was somebody that knew how to pray in those churches. Even though it appeared, and if you could connect with that one person in that church, you could have revival. And so I was in that church, and I found one old sister, bless God, she was on fire. I just preached to her, and the rest of them sit there and look at me. And she stood up one night and said, Pastor Steve, she said, I got to praising God down at the supermarket and said they had a pyramid of green beans. And she said, I got into those green beans. Said, there's green beans all over there. I just a shout. But she said, I got a woman that was there. Said, she's with me right now. Said, stand up here, ma'am. She had a visitor where that woman got the Holy Spirit that night. Praise God. That woman was on fire. Before we left that town, dozens and dozens of people had got saved because of one woman that was on fire. Friend, when you got real weaponized praise, it won't just keep you coming to church. It'll take care of paying your bills. It'll take care of healing your sick children. It'll take care of keeping your house on fire for God. It'll open doors. It'll cause you to get promotions. Praise God. There's some real devils out there, ladies and gentlemen, and you better get some weapons. The armory is open, the Bible said, and one of the greatest weapons you can get is learn how to praise God. And when we begin to worship God, it reassigns our battle. It puts our battle over to God. It takes it out of our hand and says, your battle is not your battle at all. Your battle is the Lord's battle. He will fight for you. Remember this, your weapons are not carnal. It's so important that you understand it. People said, I come to your church, I saw people crying and worshiping and saying hallelujah and jumping up and down. I don't understand that. That's because they're carnal. The Bible said the carnal mind cannot understand the spiritual things. So when you talk about our weapons, they're not carnal. They're not intellectual. They're not mental. They sometimes have no rhyme, no reason. Some of the strangest things God's asked me to do, when I did them, I didn't even know what I was doing. I was just doing what the Holy Spirit telling me to praise God in whatever way. And when I would do that, God would do wonderful things. If you read in the Word of God, you will find out that God does that. The Bible said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Somebody hear you preaching? They say, you're a fool. That's just foolishness. The Bible said, I'll destroy the witness of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. The Bible said, God made foolish the wisdom of this world. It's wonderful to be educated, to be intellectual, to have a high IQ. But if you're not very careful, you begin to think that is your weaponry. That's not. The Bible said, for that after in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Because the foolishness of God is stronger than men. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. For God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised that God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. And God has a purpose in all of that. You see people crying and worshiping God, sitting right here on the front seat. My precious sister said that when I begin to pray, she said, I just begin to weep. And the Holy Ghost, why is that? It's because you're like a little child. How many have ever raised children? Can they cry at a drop of a hat? Oh, friend, if you get tender in the Lord, you can cry at a drop of a hat. The Bible said he bottled your tears. When you really get to the place where you are a real worshiper, you can just throw up your hands and praise God anywhere, anytime, about anything, good, bad, or indifferent. You're just a worshiper, and you're a praiser. There is a purpose, and God goes through 1 Corinthians, 1st chapter, and he goes through all of these things, how he's going to confound the wise with foolishness. But then he has a purpose. He ends it with this, that no flesh should glory in his presence. When we do these things, somebody that comes with a college degree and says, I just don't understand that. Friend, that college degree is to be coveted. I've got some friends and family members that have got doctorate degrees, and I admire them so much. I know the work they put. I wished I had an earned PhD. It's an amazing thing to have on your resume. But you can't let that become an enemy of spiritual things and say, well, that doesn't make sense. Of course it does not make sense. The things of God do not make sense. The Bible said the carnal mind cannot understand them. And worship is one of those. When you worship God, you just can't understand by the carnal mind how this could make a difference. But the writer said, let his praise be continually on my lips. You know, if you take that verse, pray seven times a day, and pray seven times a day, and you take Paul, he said, I pray without ceasing. And then your praises continue on. You're going to be a busy little person. You know that? You're not going to have a time. Simply, we just don't have enough time to sin. They're too busy. Idleness is a problem. It really is. When you get a lot of money, if you study the people in Hollywood, you study people that are singers that make zillions of dollars. I mean, just it's unfathomable how much money they make. And they've got a lot of time. Their lives are a mess. Unrealized fortunes and idleness will almost always destroy people. And so you're not to be idle. You're to be on fire for the Lord, always like Christ walking in this world. So God has a purpose for this, that it would give God glory. Somebody said, I don't understand it. It's to glorify the Lord. You remember in 2 Chronicles, when they were being just totally outnumbered by the enemy, God said, the battle is not yours. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the Lord said, this is what you do. Send the tribe of Judah out front. Put the praisers first. And then send the singers out. And begin to worship. And I will fight your battle. Because it's not your battle. It's my battle. And if you learn to just praise God, it does all kinds of supernatural things to you. The brain is a phenomenal thing. Of all the inventions that man has invented, it does not compare to the human brain. And that human brain has the ability to release endorphins and various things. And when you praise God, it affects the human brain. It does not affect God as far as changing Him. It only affects God in the fact that it brings you near God and God into your life. But when you praise God, it releases supernatural things. You say, I don't believe that. That's because you're carnally minded. I don't understand. That's because you're carnally minded. I not only don't understand it, but I do believe it. I know when I praise God that my God gets in my praise. And no matter what it is, let me refresh your memory to those of you that have been here 40 years. And let me tell those of you that have been here for a few days, let me tell this story. My stories to me are exactly like Bible stories. I go through the Bible stories over and over and over and over. But I also go through the same faith stories in my life over and over and over and over. So let me refresh your memory with this. When I was building that building, the first building next door, that's three buildings over there, but the center one was the first building. And we got the thing just up, and that was the way it was. And we were totally out of money. We didn't have any money, couldn't get no money, couldn't borrow no money. I went and gave my last $10,000 to R.W. Schambach in Austin on a Friday night. On a Monday morning, I was at the radio station in Fredericksburg Road, went to the 12th story. That's where the radio station was. Did my live broadcast, and friend, I was under the gun. I couldn't build a building, and people were saying, he that's going to build a building ought to count the cost. People are always going to be negative if they think you're stopped. They're always going to be critical of anything. I wasn't stopped. I was just contemplating what the Lord was going to do next. And praise God, I was in that radio station 12 stories up, and there was an elevator, and I got on that elevator, and I was just being besieged by every negative thought, and I just began to praise and glorify God. Why is that? Oh, friend, I was weaponizing my praise. It wasn't just something I do on a platform, something I do in a pew. It's something I do in an elevator, in a business place. And it was just happened to be about lunch hour. And I guess I got carried away in my praise. And when I opened my eyes, I was on the first floor. The elevator doors had opened, and that lobby was full of people coming back from lunch. There must have been 50 or 100 people in that big lobby. They were there, and they were just watching me. Their eyes were as big as saucers because I was praising the Lord, and I was speaking in tongues. Well, I realized at that moment in time, I'd been caught. There wasn't no need to try to do nothing now. They knew I was a nut. They knew I was a religious fanatic. They knew I was a holy roller. So I just walked out of that building, just kept my hands up, praised God all the way from the elevator to the front door. I was like Moses parting the Red Sea. I'm going to tell you what. Fell off to the left and the right. I praise God. I got in my car and got out on Fredericksburg Road and drove that mile or so to 410. And there's a bank there. The bank is not there anymore. It used to be Citizens Frost Bank. I walked into that place and I walked in there and I had a little packet of information, just a few sheets. And I said, I need to talk to a loan officer. And I walked in there and they said, yes, we will introduce you to Claudel Kercheval, Senior President of Frost Bank. I walked in there, She was a big lady, about 300 pounds, chain smoke, raised on a ranch in West Texas. She was about 60. I was about 35 probably. She saw me as a little boy. She saw me as what could have been her son. I sat down there and told her my story. And she looked at me and she said, "Steve, I like you." Just like a mother. She wasn't like a banker. She was like my mother. She said, "Steve, I like you. I'm going to help you. What do you need?" I said, "I need $1 million, Miss Kirchhoff." She said, "It'll take me about 2 weeks to get that for you. Is that all right?" I said, "That'll be fine." You said, "Well, that was just something that happened." No, that happened in the elevator, praising God. That happened in the lobby. That happened when I was praising God. God set that divine appointment up. Some of you got an appointment that you're dreading. You're dreading your appointment with your doctor. You're dreading your appointment with your lawyer. You're dreading an appointment with somebody in your school. You're dreading some kind of an appointment you've got with a court or a judge. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, if you can reach into the armory of the Lord and pull out worship and begin to weaponize that and begin to say, "God, I have no fear. I have no dread. I realize I might be outnumbered, but I'm exactly like they were. I'm sending the tribe of Judah out. I'm sending the singers. I'm sending the praise. And I'm going to praise you, Lord, not just at Living Way on Sunday morning. I'm going to praise you at night in my home before I go to bed. I'm going to praise you when I get up. My praise is going to be continually on my lips." I'm going to tell you, God will say, "I'm going to switch the battle. It's no longer your battle. The judge is now dealing with me. The doctor's not dealing with you any longer. He's dealing with me." When the doctor shakes his head and looks forlorn, as Becky's song said, God steps in and said, "You understand, you're not dealing with Becky anymore. You are now dealing with the creator of Becky. And if I made this body..." Oh, God spoke to me one time and he said, "Don't be alarmed about sickness." He said, "I am the inventor of your body and I've got all the spare parts. If you need a new liver, God's got one. You need a new lung, God's got one. You need something in your blood, so God's got it." God is a miracle worker, but the way I release that is weaponizing my worship and my praise. And friend, it's not easy. All of your friends are going to make fun of you. Even some of the church members are going to say, "That's not necessary." But worst of all, the devil's going to trouble you and laugh at you. But worse than that, your own flesh is going to rebel. Your own flesh is going to say, "Don't do that." But friend, if you are going to be a conqueror, more than a conqueror, an overcomer, you not only got to conquer the devil, you got to conquer your flesh. And you can't conquer your flesh with your flesh. You've got to conquer your flesh with the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you begin to worship and praise God, what happens? The Bible said he inhabits that praise. Suddenly you are not natural, you're supernatural. The Bible said you are endued with power from on high. The Bible said greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. There are people in this building today that are broke. That are broke. Folks, there ain't nobody in this building has been as broke as I have been broke. I've been broke and owed millions of dollars. That's worse than being broke. I ain't broke no more. I praised my way out of poverty, praise God. I praised this church out of poverty. I was advised by lawyers and bankers for this church to declare bankruptcy in the 80s, and a lot of churches did, but I refused. I remember going to the prayer room over there by the side of that platform and praising God for hours just by myself, reading the scripture and praising God. It didn't happen that day, and it didn't happen the next day, but I looked up one day, and all of our bills were paid, and we had money in the bank. It wasn't because I'm a bookkeeper. It wasn't because I'm the smartest guy on Interstate 35. It was because I took the worship that I had, and I weaponized it, and I praised my way out of poverty into prosperity. I've been afflicted with so many different diseases and injuries, but here I stand before you doing better than most 73-year-old men I know. How did I get here? I worship my way out of disease, sickness, and injury. And I'm telling somebody in this building today that is facing the biggest battle in your life, you need to turn it over to God. So, "Well, I'm just going to turn it over to God." That's not a phrase, my friend. That's an action when you begin to say, I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No matter, that's what you're doing. You're turning it over to God. Why don't you turn your troubles over to God today? Why don't you turn your money over to God today? Why don't you turn everything in your body over to Him? Why don't you turn all your troubles and all your trials and say, God, I cannot do it on my own. You've got to fight my battle. And God, while you're fighting my battle, I'm going to be standing here seeing the salvation of the Lord. Because while God's out there fighting, I'm right here praising. Say, what a good God. What a wonderful God. What amazing grace. What a Son of God. What a Shekinah. What a God that is able. What a God that is my Alpha. What a God that is my Omega. What a God is my beginning. What a God that is my ending. What a God that is my salvation. What a God that is my healer. What a God that is, I'm just praising you. And while I'm praising, God is out there fighting my battle. I'd a lot rather be home praising God and let God go before me out there and fight the battle. And when I get there, I'm just on the cleanup crew. The battle's already won. And the Bible said after the enemy was scattered, they begin to gather up the gold and the silver. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, God has got rewards and things for you that you haven't even imagined. If you will just become a real warrior of praise, and you'll let praise not just be a song you sing or wave to God, but it becomes a weapon. I mean, it becomes a weapon in your life, and you know how to use it against the devil. I promise you, it'll turn your life around. It'll turn it right around in Jesus' name. Sister Christy, you remember this story? Your mother was in the hospital one time. This has been 35, 40 years ago. And they called me. It was over at Methodist Hospital. And they called me to go over there. And I got there late at night. And when I got there and got in the hall, I didn't have to ask where she was. I could hear the praise coming from a hospital. I just followed the praise down the corridor. She's Hispanic. They put her in a room with an African-American lady that was dying. And as she began to praise God, this African-American lady wasn't living for God, but way back in her past, her family had. She knew. Friend, don't give up on them if they ever knew. It's got a way of coming back. Hallelujah. Praise God. And as her mother began to sing and praise God, the woman that was dying next to her began to sing and praise God. When I walked into that room, I just joined in. And there we were, just about midnight, just like Paul and Silas, praising God. The woman that was there with her, they'd given her only a few hours to live. But within a few hours, when the doctors came in the morning, like 6 or 8 hours lately, that woman that was supposed to die, they just gave her up. She walked out with her mother. We all walked out of that hospital together because one woman had a weapon of praise. She turned that hospital room into a cathedral. Stand on your feet. Lift your hands and give God some praise today. There are people in this building. Praise God. There's some people in this building that are going through some real struggles in your life. But I challenge you. Don't let the devil do that to you. Weaponize your praise. I promise you, the Bible said, resist the devil and he will flee with you.